How often have you been in the market for a car or a truck? Probably not that often. I can think of a few times that I purchased a car. One time I bought a brand new car. Probably never do that again. But in a person's lifetime, they don't go out and buy cars every year or every month. But you think about all of the commercials. If you watch television and you see these commercials, you're bombarded by Mazda, by Honda, by Ford, and all of these different automobile makers. They want you to buy a car. But they probably know that when you see and hear the commercial, you're not going to run out and buy a car immediately. Because if you have a car, you don't need a car. But what they're hoping is that if you hear the message over and over again, when you're in need for a car, you'll think of Mazda, or you'll think of Toyota, or you'll think of Ford, or Chevrolet, or whatever car that you drive. So if you're watching these commercials and you don't feel the necessity to run out and buy a car, there's probably three reasons. Number one, which is pretty obvious, you don't drive. No. Just thought of that off the fly. No, number one, you don't have a need. You just don't have a need. You have a really good car. So, you know, you love your car, so you don't have a need. Number two, you don't have a sense of urgency. And number three, you do not think the message applies to you. You think it applies to other people. When I started thinking about this week, I thought, you know, I wonder if people come to church with that same attitude. You know, we're bombarded by messages. Some messages we take to heart. Other messages, we just let it go to the wayside. How many people come to church on Sunday morning, hear the message of repentance and the gospel, and they think to themselves, I don't think this applies to me. It applies to her or him or somebody that I'm thinking about, but it certainly does not apply to me. Or they think that they don't have a need for it. Or they think that the matter is not urgent. Now, in today's readings, the Old Testament, the Epistle, the Gospel, if you were listening, they all have one central message. Repentance is now. It's not something we could put off. It's not something we could postpone. It's not something that we should think it's for her or him. It's for us. Jesus in the gospel is very, very specific. He says, unless you repent now, not later, but now, you too will perish. Some people, when they hear it, because they come to church every year, every Christmas, every Easter, every Sunday, and they go, you know, I've heard this before. It's not relevant for me. These are people that feel that the message doesn't hit home because they have no need. They look at their life and they go, you know what? I'm not such a bad person after all. I don't steal. I don't commit adultery. I haven't done anything bad. And I really don't think the message applies to me today. Besides, not only am I not bad, bad things only happen to bad people. Someone loses a child, they must have done something bad. Someone loses a job, they must have done something bad. They came down with cancer, there must be something behind the consequences. That's them, not me. And they feel that they don't have a need because life is going okay. You know, there might be some bumps and ups and downs, but life is not that bad. And so Jesus addresses this. He goes, listen, the Galileans, the people who are from Galilee, from the north, they came down to worship, probably it was Passion Week, or not Passion Week, Palm Sunday. No, not Palm Sunday, they didn't worship that either. The Passover. They came to Jerusalem for the worship and the sacrifices of the lambs at the Passover. They were Jewish people. And so they came into the temple and they sacrificed. And this is what Pilate did. He sent his army into the temple area and he killed these Galileans that happened to be Jewish. And so the blood, their blood, was mingled with the sacrifice. This is terrorism. You know, terrorism has been around forever. You know, in those days, it wasn't on the internet, wasn't in your face, but terrorism has always been around. And this is, Pilate was a terrorist. He went in and he killed these Jewish people in the temple area and their blood was mingled with their sacrifices. These were God-fearing people. That would be like someone coming into a church. Oh, I don't have to go there. But that's exactly what it would be like. Can you imagine? It would make the news. Everybody would be talking about it. Well, Jesus says, do you think these people were worse sinners because this happened to them? Now, you have to understand the rivalry between the people in Jerusalem and in Galilee. The people in Jerusalem, they were closer to the temple. They were closer to the presence of God and the places of worship. So they didn't really think highly of the Galileans that were in the north. If you know your Old Testament history, it was the kingdom divided that went into the north that set up all their own idols and their own worship, and it was really looked down on. It was frowned on. So what Jesus is saying is, don't think that these northern people, these Galileans, these Jewish people who came to worship at the Passover were worse sinners than you. No, they're not. You too also should repent. Then he gets it closer to home. He says, what about the people in Jerusalem, the Jewish people in Jerusalem, near the Pool of Siloam, near the city of David? The tower fell on them and killed 18 of them. Do you think those people were worse off sinners than you? No. So what Jesus is addressing is this philosophy that when someone loses a child or a grandchild or cancer or loses a job or they lose their hearing or their sight or something terrible happens to them, that they must have been bad people, that God is singling them out to punish them, that's not true. All have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. That's why at the beginning of the liturgy, we begin and we confess our sins, all of us. No matter if life is going really well, or matter if we're grieving, or if we're in pain, it doesn't matter. We all come before our Lord, and we all confess corporately together that we all have fallen short of God's glory. So this philosophy that we don't have the need, Jesus takes it right off the table. We're all sinners. The other one is, I don't feel like I have a sense of urgency. Life is good. I remember years ago before 9/11, I was preaching in Bantam, Connecticut. Every Sunday was the same, the message of the law, the message of the gospel, and then 9/11 happened. And I remember being at that parish, small, about 30 people. You could hear a pin drop because there was a sense of urgency. Because people were thinking to themselves, what is the lesson here? What does this mean? What is this all about? Why did this happen? Is God mad at us? And so everything just came to a halt. There was a sense of urgency. In today's gospel, Jesus tells a story. He tells a story about a fig tree. Man goes to a fig tree. He wants fruit on the tree. Hasn't found it in years. 3 years. He's been waiting patiently for 3 years. And he says, let's just cut it down. The other man says, no, let me work on it. Let me dig around it, put some manure in it. Let me fertilize it. Let's give it some time. Okay, fine. The sense of urgency is the man wants to cut down the tree. What is he talking about? He's talking about Israel. Israel is represented by a fig tree. They were ones that were supposed to produce fruits of righteousness. Hearing the word, they were given the law, they were given the prophets, they were given so much grace. But they didn't respond. The man in the parable says, I've waited 3 years. We look at Jesus' ministry. How long was it? 3 years. Within a few years, 70 AD, all of Jerusalem was destroyed because they didn't produce fruit. We never know. We never know when it will be our last breath. We never know when we will leave this world and go to the next. We never know if this is our last Sunday. It could be. I've known many people who have come to church on Sunday, and then a week later, I was speaking at their funeral, thinking where they were sitting. We never know. So what Jesus is saying is, number one, we all have a need, and number two, the urgency is for us to listen and to respond. Not later, but now. And then lastly, for those who think that the message does not apply to them, St. Paul in the gospel in Corinth, writing to the Corinthians, says to them, remember the people under Moses. They were all under the same cloud. They were all baptized into Moses. They all ate of the same spiritual food. He's making an allusion to baptism and the Lord's Supper. He's saying, don't think for one moment that you're secure because you've been baptized. Don't think for one moment that you're secure because you go to the Lord's Supper. Remember the people of the old covenant who all left with Moses. Many of them God was not pleased with. And before you think that St. Paul was being judgmental, he also said that about himself prior to this morning's lesson. He says in the epistle, here's my worst fear, and I'm paraphrasing this, that I would preach to others, but I too would be disqualified. This is St. Paul, a pillar of the church, who was wondering whether he would be saved in the end. And he said that he must run forth towards the race so that he might win it, lest he preach to other people and be disqualified. And so the sense of urgency and the sense of need is there in St. Paul. And he speaks to the church and he says to them, don't think that just because you're in the body, just because you're part of the corporation, that you're safe. Because it's not true. It's important to realize that we can begin and fall away. A lot of people don't want to hear this, especially people who believe in eternal security, this concept that once saved, always saved, but it's not in the scriptures. Paul is presenting the urgency that we would repent daily, that we would take the message seriously, and that we would recognize that it doesn't apply just to him or her sitting in front of us or behind us or to the left or the right of us, that it applies to us as well. And then there's the message of Ezekiel. And it's a hard message, but this is what he says. He says, if a righteous man or if a righteous woman turns from their righteousness and does evil, they will die. I know we don't want to hear that, but it's true. But the other side of the coin is this. If a wicked person repents and turns from their wickedness, they will live. This is a serious message, but it's a message for Lent. To recognize that we have the need now, that the sense of urgency is now, and that this message applies to us now. What better time to hear this message than now? Now, I don't know if you're in market for a car or a truck. You might see those advertisements and think that you don't have the need, don't have the sense of urgency, or it doesn't apply to you. But when it comes to the message of law and gospel, of pointing out our sins and showing us our short fallings and also showing us our merciful Savior, now is the time. Now is the time to repent, and now is the time to believe the good news. Amen.